Live from Radio Row in New Orleans, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Good show on this Monday as we kick things off. Our coverage in New Orleans brought to you by Paul Pata Law and, of course, our good friends over at Circa Las Vegas. You want to get out to a big game bash? CircaLasVegas.com. Look for Big Game Bash, and it really is Big Game Bashes because they're going to have parties all over the property. But you got to reserve a spot, right? That place gets crazy. So CircaLasVegas.com. Check it out. Get the information and reserve your spot. Let me spend a couple minutes here before we get back into the Lakers trade and also more on the Raiders. Von Tobel's going to join us in like 20 minutes, and we'll talk more about the Luka trade. But Danny and I want to hit it as well. Before that, UNLV basketball right now, mired. I don't even like to say mired, but fact is they've lost four in a row. Mm-hmm. They've lost them by 15 points total. Very frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, you see what's happening here. They're close, but now they just can't turn the corner in some of these games. They can't make the key plays. They clearly can beat everyone in the conference in a one-off.
Right.
They already took out San Diego State on the road, beat Utah State. Utah State, by the way, finally got its second loss. That turned into a weird game. Jared Calhoun, the coach, flipping out down the stretch, and they got freaking boat raced at the end. Close game. So New Mexico, I'll say, is out in front. But it's funny, after that game against Reno, let me go back. After the previous game, let me say it again. No, Reno, because Reno completes the cycle of playing everyone once, right?
Right.
So that's where I was intending to go. I still don't know who the best team is in the conference.
And that's probably a good thing, right?
Yeah. The problem is the impression. I don't think San Diego State is it, but by postseason, they always seem to be. The impression I got from Boise, seeing them up close, they're awesome. But they're only 7-4 in conference because the night against UNLV, they bullied the hell out of them, mm-hmm. and UNLV kind of broke. I think UNLV can beat Boise tomorrow. I think they just have to play physical and they got to defend better in the interior. And I think their big men are getting better. Their interior defense wasn't great against Reno. But as long as they match up physically, Boise can't shoot. They don't shoot from three, and they actually did shoot from three in that game. So, like, I think they got Boise on one of their best games and kind of wilted. I didn't think the New Mexico game, I mean, that was another one, right? At Thomas and Mack, even game. Can't make the plays down the stretch. Donovan Dent did, mm-hmm. right? And then Deion Thomas misses the free throw at the very end with a chance to send it to overtime. So the conference is wide open. And what that means is, and unfortunately this is a position that UNLV has been in way too many times in the last eight of the last 9 years, where they show they can beat the best teams in the conference, but they have to make a tourney run.
Right.
Not West Conference tourney and win the tournament. And if it happens again, if they get a little bit hot at the end, like they go to New Mexico, I know what the storyline is going to be. They go to New Mexico, and they always play well at New Mexico. They beat New Mexico in the final game of the season, and they're like 11-9 in conference. Right now they're 5-6. People will look at that and go, Utah State win, San Diego State win. Man, if they just get hot, they can go. And then every year, boom, they hit the wall and can't get to the semis. So it's kind of the same setup. But, yeah, the game up at Lawler was really frustrating down the stretch because they were right there.
Right. What do you make of Utah State? Because they got off to that great start, then lost to UNLV. And then in the second game against UNLV, they got out to a huge lead, and UNLV clawed their way back into the game. I believe they even tied it.
They did. They had a tie.
And unfortunately, those plays down the stretch, they weren't able to make them. But UNLV had them on the brink of a sweep.
Utah State is not – they're physical all over the floor. They're not big, though, inside.
Mm-hmm.
So UNLV is kind of able to – if they can get penetration or throw it into the bigs, they can bully them a little bit. And they played slightly meaner. They were still pretty mean. They played slightly meaner in the home game, and that's why they beat them. I think Utah State is good. I think they're a really tough matchup for a lot of teams around the country. They look like the best coach team. Like, they really run offense well. And their defense is pretty organized to where they're picking up. They're putting a lot of pressure in that midcourt area, causing turnovers. So I think they're good. I think New Mexico has the best player. So, and we saw Donovan Dent at Thomas Mack, put over 30 up on the board. He could have scored 40 in the game. He was unbelievable. So I would not want to have to pick who's going to win the tournament, who's going to win the regular season, because I still think there's going to be a bunch of losses for the top teams.
Yeah.
And you'll probably have five teams that all first place might have four losses. But even like Colorado State will come back to the pack. I think they're 8-2 in conference. So they'll finish like 12-8.
Mm-hmm.
And UNLV can still be in that 500 range. And their upside, they can beat everyone.
Yeah.
But they got to execute down the stretch because the last four games have been super frustrating. And what did Reno close out the game? 8-2. Right? It was a tie game at 63s. They closed out 8-2. They took advantage of a switch that I didn't like all game because Deion Thomas kept getting caught on the block against Nick Davidson. So they had an easy throw inside to him. Xavier Dussel set up from the three-point line. They ran at him because you don't want that guy shooting threes. And then he, on the move, he makes like a 14-footer. And they also made their free throws. So Deion also went 5-10 in the game. So I don't know if it's now mental, which for a point guard, that ain't good.
No.
Because especially his style of play, because at the end of the games,
they need him.
High pick and roll or penetration, he's got the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So it's disappointing. Yeah. But could they go 7-3 in these last 10? Maybe. Can't have any slip-ups. Like, they had their slip-up, and I think Wyoming's pretty decent. Can't have any slip-ups against Wyoming that's on the road. The Fresnos, the San Jose States, Air Force. Can't have that. So they got to win all the games they're supposed to win and then pull off another, couple upsets. But, man, they're close.
Yeah. It's do they have – so I've watched – the majority of their games, not all of them, but do you think right now they have a good chance at getting that first round bye for the tournament, or do you think it's still too early?
Well, they're 5-6. The problem is there's a big gap between the top five. I don't have the standings in front of me, but I think Boise's there with four losses. I don't think any of those top five will lose more than eight in conference.
Okay.
And I don't know that the Rebels are going 12-8. Never know. Right? I mean, the way Kruger talked about it after the game on Saturday was, we could be a week away from turning the corner, winning a couple of close ones, and then taking off because now we have confidence.
Mm-hmm.
He's talked a lot about the mental game with this UNLV squad, that they lose confidence in games at times and then hit bad streaks. But then they can flip the switch. Get back in a game. So it's where they are. And the other thing is, not to go on and on, the other thing is the communication that I know he's been harping on that the entire year, that they just don't have enough communicators. Frankly, I mean, I equate communicator with you're an alpha, and they have a lot of good players, but they don't have many who are true alphas. Who will get into a teammate, whichever once in a while you need.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you need someone there to do enough to ruffle the feathers, push, and not fight.
I think Jaden Hanley could do it. He's old. That's ridiculous. He's a veteran player. He's been at three stops. I mean, when he wants to drive and he wants to shed you, he does it. And it's the same thing. You go back on these games and a four-game losing streak just becomes a four-game losing streak without analysis. And you look at so many small plays in that last game. Like, Henley had a dunk where he went in on someone and was going to do a two-handed dunk, and it was right in front of me. He skied, and the guy met him at the top, but kind of jumped straight up. 50-50 call. It could have been a foul. No foul called, and that that's two of the points down the stretch that are key. We mentioned DJT missing free throws. He missed two in the final minute, too, to tie the game at 65. So it's just little things. But what you hope is little things don't turn into a drop in confidence.
Right.
And then
– snowball effect.
Yep. Because I honestly, the other side, I think it's the same exact problem, Steve Alford. They don't have enough alphas. He also built a team with, like, all 6'7" guys. He has no point guard, which I don't know how you go into a season with no point guard. It's insane. He had Keenan Blackshear for the last 3 years, who was 6'6 and 230, and I think he was thinking the same concept. Like, oh, we can go with a – we'll have another 6'7 guy play the point. Like, no.
It doesn't always work.
Well, not if they, like – Blackshear really had point guard qualities at 6'6", 230. But so this trade that went down, it's real, Danny.
It's very real.
Luka, Davis, Lakers, Mavericks. The Jazz were involved. They didn't really know they were involved until after I mentioned earlier in the show that Danny Ainge said, hey, if I had known this was going to help the Lakers get Luka, I wouldn't have done the trade. Now, maybe he was joking with a Celtic background.
I was going to say, how did he not know?
Maybe he was joking. I don't know. Apparently, the small haul actually was just through negotiating. It was just a negotiating boffo win for Rob Pelinka.
It's unbelievable.
There are reports that it was a bigger deal, and then Pelinka's like, Luka, wait. You having problems with him? You know, we're taking a risk here. And somehow he convinced the Mavs to take. AD is a really good player, and he can help them win a championship the next couple of years. But the haul should have been a lot bigger than that one. A lot of good jokes out of this.
Oh, there's a ton of them. A
lot of good jokes. Obviously, people trying to compare it. You know, we were listening to Q's show during the break because he's right in the same area as us here at Radio Row. He's over on Raider Nation Radio 920, and they were trying to come up with different comparisons. But Bronny jokes, I saw this one, that Bronny's new job as a Laker will be to monitor Luka's pizza and beer intake. Which someone does need to do it, because if it's true that the Mavs thought he was around 270 pounds now, which is another weird one with, like, hey, the Mavs think this. Like, put him on a scale.
Yeah. I'm sure they have one in the training room.
Get him on Luka.
But I don't
on the scale. Hey, I'm going to guess your weight. Let's make a bet.
Okay.
Go on the – no, I meant him. Like, you're saying as a weight guesser. Hey, Luka, get on the
scale. His contract is dictated by his weight.
Yeah.
I don't think Bronny can definitely look after the pizza. I don't think he's old enough to check the beer. He's not walking up to him grabbing an open beer out of his hand.
Nice, Griffin, huh? He blows up the joke. Wasn't my joke, but I stole it.
Way to go, freaking Danny.
Thanks, man. Bring the whole comedic element of the show down.
Just got to poke holes.
There were protesters around the arena in Dallas.
So dumb.
What do you mean? They're mad.
I get
it. They want the trade voided. They're mad at the Mavs. It is not a great deal.
No, I fully understand that, but come on. Showing up to the facility.
Did you guys see that someone brought a coffin to the protest?
No.
Yes, I did, and I loved it.
Was that the organization is dead? Is that the signal?
Maybe their love for the organization is dead or something. Something dead was in that casket, and they put it right on their doorsteps.
I love that.
Their championship hopes? Is that what they were thinking?
Well, their future. I mean, like I said, next 2 years, can they win a title? Yeah, they have a good team. But after that, Kyrie Irving getting long in the tooth and AD 33 at that time with his durability.
Yeah.
Good luck.
And he's early 30s now, right? He's got to be. Drafted in 14?
I feel like he's older.
I think he's like a year older than Anthony Davis.
God, these guys, I forget with these guys because you see him around for 15 years. But then you're like, oh, crap, that's right. They were in the league at 19 and 18 and 20 years old.
Because I think Kyrie was in his second year when LeBron went back.
Yeah. Kyrie's only 32.
Okay. So, yeah, he'll be 34, 35.
He got gray in the beard. Maybe that's how I got fooled.
Keep in mind, too, this is a Dallas Mavericks team that's got a older Klay Thompson on the squad as well. So it's just a team of old dogs.
Hey, sometimes that's what you need. Didn't that work for the Lakers when they assembled that team of players who were just on the verge of retirement?
Brian Windhorst said that you really haven't heard from anyone from the Mavs organization defending Luka, like some of the stuff that's come out.
So stupid.
For some reason, they're just done with him. I don't think we know the reason yet. And the reason may be, maybe the owner balked at, you know, committing $350 million to a player.
Yeah.
could be the case. I mean, the purchase of the Mavs by Miriam Adelson, who obviously is a local, I don't think was a, hey, let's buy a pro franchise move. I think it was, let's get into the Dallas and Texas market so that when gambling does go live, we're there on the ground. Now, part of that would be we're there on the ground and we're producing goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
Trading Luka is not goodwill.
No, it's not.
It's not going to help her name in the sports circles. But if that's the case, then that's certainly disappointing for the league. I was reading a couple minutes ago, there are executives around the league who do think the trade should be voided because I guess they'll claim, hey, the Mavs didn't actually shop them.
I mean, is that a requirement, though?
I don't know that they have to. Well, I guess for the integrity of the league, maybe. The problem is there are so many trades in sports, but in the NBA, like when Butler gets traded, it's because he demanded a trade.
Right.
They're probably going to get nothing for him. So if you every time there was a deal that seemed lopsided, a little bit off, they could void every deal.
Yeah. And it's not like the Lakers gave up a first and a bench player.
This was not a dump.
Yeah. So, like, obviously, in my opinion, Lakers came out on top, but, like, it's not so bad that the rest of the owners need to get together and be like, hey, NBA, stop this.
Griffin, your thought, what did you see from Stephen A. that he was talking about, now LeBron should go, I'm out of here?
Yeah, Stephen A. Smith basically said if LeBron chooses to stay in Los Angeles, it's a lifestyle decision more than a basketball decision. National ESPN, you're going to get takes like that. But yeah, basically he's saying there's for some reason he thinks there's no room for LeBron now in LA now with this trade.
Well, I mean, it clearly signals like this is going to be the guy to build. If they can get to a championship level, they've got their young building block. Yeah. It's the next LeBron, Kobe, Magic. You know, you can name all the legends. This is the guy, but it doesn't mean there's no room for LeBron. Now, Stephen A. also said he should waive his no trade clause to go to a good team. Well, I'm not going to say a good team. Would Golden State with LeBron have a better chance than the Lakers to win the title? Than the Lakers are constituted
now. I don't think so.
Right? So he said he should demand to go to Golden State or the Knicks, which I think the second part is maybe because he's a Knicks loyalist.
So he wants LeBron to throw a fit and demand a trade because Anthony Davis got traded.
He didn't mention that part. No.
No, but he's saying...
But it is interesting, as Griffin said, he followed it up by saying that if he stays with L.A., then that's clearly a lifestyle decision, not a basketball decision.
Well, yeah, we've already seen him doing movies and stuff. He's looking at other things outside of basketball to do once he retires. And L.A. is probably one of the best places to be. So, yeah, stay there. And you're probably not playing more than another year or two, maybe three at most. Why would you up and leave now?
It's funny, if he does that, then people will annihilate him for trying to join a winner.
Absolutely.
A team in a little better position like the Knicks. Let's also, go ahead, Griffin.
Oh, no, I got nothing to say. I'm waited here. I want to see what you got to say.
Now, let's also say that part of lifestyle decisions, even though you could just rent a place, not move there permanently, they are kind of, lifestyle decision is where you want to live,
mm-hmm.
right? Just between us and the audience, New York kind of sucks.
Whoa.
It does.
In what way?
Everything's a hassle. L.A.'s not easy either. And there's some nice places to live in, I'll say, New Jersey. You're not going to live in Manhattan, trust me, on that one.
Yeah, very few.
It's a different sort of life. Everything is a hassle, and it is not easy to get around. L.A.'s not perfect. L.A.'s also 75 degrees every day, so that's kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
So just my personal take from growing up in the area, it's a pain in the you-know-whats.
Yeah, you know firsthand, or close enough.
So, and New York Knicks fans, because they're used to, and New Jersey folks and even Connecticut in that tri-state area, they've been conditioned to live with hassle. And then when you move, you're like, wow, everything doesn't have to be a giant pain in the ass.
No. It's just that there's so many people there.
Yes. I don't have to stress over something I never should have been stressing over.
I'm curious what Stephen A. would say if this hypothetical happened. He waived his no trade to go to the Knicks. Everyone knows that Stephen A., like, he's going to show up to those games. And LeBron isn't LeBron. He's slightly worse because, I mean, he's getting older. He's at 40 now. So his play is going to go down a little bit every season. And what if he comes out a year or two from now and he's averaging 18-7 or whatever?
It would be fitting, though. I will say, were you asking me how they're going to greet him?
Well, I think Stephen A. would be the first to rip him.
You're saying him. I mean, would he?
Yeah, absolutely. I
mean, if you're 41 or 42 and you're still averaging 18-7, it's kind of remarkable. But that could happen. That could happen. But what he's doing at this age is nuts.
Oh, yeah.
I think he said it the other night. He's like, this is crazy. And I'm playing at this level. He wasn't bragging. It's just like, wow.
No, it's
another triple-double.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I don't know if we haven't seen anything like this before, because even Tom Brady, it's not like this.
No.
And I don't know if we'll ever see something like this before, just because I think since contracts are getting so big,
What's the point? We
could start seeing people retire earlier.
Yeah.
Because after you get two max contracts, that's generational wealth. Why play into your late 30s?
Danny, that's what I'm praying for, man. I'm praying for it with one particular guy. I can't do 10 more years of these Super Bowls with this guy around. You know who I'm talking about.
I think I might
know. Bro, don't play. Please don't play until you're like 41. I'm not going to outlive Pat Mahomes in the NFL. Like, he's going to win, you know, whatever, 7 of the next 10 and be like, can I do it? I'm here. I don't think I can do the voice for a whole comment, but like, I'm staying around. I want to play until I'm 44. He doesn't really sound like that. Man of 1,000 voices, Steve Cofield. I actually am Danny Gann's younger brother. Rest in peace.
It was
Stevie Gann's.
It was good.
It was. I don't think it was good, but the effort was there.
It was acceptable.
Coming up more on the trade and the details of the trade, and then how it's going to work with Luka and LeBron playing together. John Von Tobel will rejoin us in just a couple minutes as we're live here at Radio Row on this Monday, getting ready for Super Bowl 59.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Radio Row in New Orleans, presented by Circa Sports on ESPN Las Vegas.
Back here at Radio Row, Super Bowl coverage brought to you by Paul Padilla. Cofield back with JVT. So we head towards the grab bag in about 15 minutes. I got to get your take on what's going on with the NBA and the trades. So first of all, this is a ridiculous question, but were you like everyone else when the Luka trade came down? You're like, no way. Like, this is definitely fake. This is, I'll give him a pop, Ball Sack Sports. I had to block him again.
I thought it was fake. I thought in my little NBA group chat that I have, we all thought that Shams got hacked. So when you're hacked, you know, you're like, let's just report this ridiculous trade so everybody buys it. And then you see other people start to report it as well and confirm it. And my running theory is that maybe they don't know and they're just confirming it so they can look good too.
Right.
But then ESPN runs the story and you're like, holy smokes. Like, no, this is actually real. I was watching St. Mary's Gonzaga and it was like, what the hell? My phone started blowing up. I still can't believe it's real, dude. It's the stupidest trade I've ever seen.
Why?
Well, when you have a generational player like that, even if you're not going to pay him, for whatever reason, you want to get rid of him, you're not going to pay him, he's been terrible behind the scenes, whatever it is, you shop him. You don't call one team with the thought in mind that I want this and I'm going to go get it, because then that's just bad bargaining. That's not the way that works. Even if their end goal was to get Anthony Davis, you go shop around and you try to get a lot. They got Anthony Davis, they got Christie, and then the first round pick isn't really that great because it's the Lakers' 2029 first round pick. Luka's going to be on the team. So it's not like a Suns 2030 where that team might be absolutely awful by that year or whatever it is. So you flopped that out for Luka Doncic for Anthony Davis, and I just don't understand that at all.
We know for sure that they didn't really shop him.
I mean, that's every report. every report has been that they went directly to the Lakers. Lakers did not reach out to them, and then they got a deal done.
Well, the word sounds like the Mavs were completely fired up about AD. So that's who they want. That's why they reached out, I guess, to just the Lakers. They wanted AD, and that was it.
Oh, yeah, but you get people to negotiate, right?
I agree. I mean, the haul is absurd.
Yes.
That part of it. But on the, hey, shop them around, I don't know like what the asking price was in terms of the player back. If they thought there was anyone else in the league like Anthony Davis, there are. I mean, I saw the comments that, you know, now the defensive look of this team, you know, we wanted an all-star level defender on the interior. I guess there's not that many of them who have the skill set that Anthony Davis has. But the problem is it's just Davis.
Like right.
You said, I saw someone put together a list of what the Nets have gotten as a complete haul for Kevin Durant. And it was two players. Cam Johnson's one of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
The picks, because they've also spun guys off.
Yeah.
They've gotten 9 first-round picks, 3 second-round picks, and 3 swaps.
Yeah.
It's 12 picks.
And that's for an older Kevin Durant that's in the midst of a deal, right? Like,
yes.
Like, that's
12 picks!
Here's the thing, though. Even if your end goal is Anthony Davis, what you do is you call the other teams, you get all these great offers, and then you go to the Lakers and be like, hey, look, like, we got all these offers, right? We want Anthony Davis. We want a little bit more. Like, you just should have gotten a little bit more than what you ultimately got. Right. So I just don't understand what that was. That's just bad business. And you go back a couple years, Steve. So people are going to keep going, hey, they made it to the finals. Remember, they were in the Western Conference Finals about 4 years ago. That roster had Luka Doncic and Jalen Brunson. You had both of those guys in your building under contract. And what you have to show for it is Anthony Davis and a 2029 first-round pick from the Lakers. That's bad business.
Brunson they could have had for a very affordable rate, too.
Yes. For those who don't remember, they had Brunson was like willing to sign the contract extension, the cheap one. And they said, nah, you test free agency, buddy. And he said, okay. And then he played extremely well, helped them in a playoff series, went to the Knicks, the rest is history. They had both of those guys on that roster, and now they're both gone.
You know, it's funny. Last week, I was talking about the Lakers and all this, and John Von Tobel's with us, part of the company. We're here on Radio Row. I was talking about the Lakers' chances at the break to add. And add significantly. But here's the thing. My first thought went to, this is not 1978. It's not 1984. When the league was full of buffoons in the GM spot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you realize the Lakers and Celtics, I don't know that the 80s Lakers and Celtics happens unless there's other idiots in the league who handed them multiple players and picks.
Right.
Like, you look back, you're like, how the hell do they have all those guys? Both teams were super teams because there were GMs who were idiots and there were also owners who didn't care. So they'd peddle players, they'd trade them for nothing.
Mm.
And my thought last week was like, the Lakers are kind of screwed. There's not bad ownership now. Teams try, they have money. Apparently there's at least one organization that stinks.
Yeah.
Or the GM does.
Well, and it's either the GM or, again, there's rumblings that they just didn't want to pay him. Do you remember new ownership now for Dallas? So,
oh, that's right.
Yep. So maybe that's right. Needed from the top.
RJ ownership. Well, I guess we'll have Adam back on tomorrow, but we'll get more reaction from Adam. He reacted in hour one. Yeah, this is crazy. And then the great thing for the Lakers is that, I mean, they have to transition at some point to their next star and stars. Mm-hmm. And that's what LA is all about, is having, you know, that one giant player on the team. LeBron's the latest. So now Luka can be that guy. By the way, I didn't even realize how young Luka is. It feels like he got in the league when he was like 14. He's 25?
Yeah, he's 25.
He's 25, and they gave up almost no assets for him.
Nothing. You keep hearing like, oh, Max Christie's kind of... No, it's insane. Now, what's interesting about this trade, I think the Mavericks simultaneously won and lost the deal. In the long term, they completely lost the deal. Because, again, you should get more for a player of that caliber. In the short term, Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, PJ Washington, Anthony Davis, and then whatever center you want to play with them, whether it's Lively or Gafford, like, that's a pretty nice lineup. That's a lineup that really fits, that really works. You have two stud defenders there in Davis and PJ Washington. You've got a good center who can block shots, and then, of course, that front court's going to be a nightmare with Davis coming in and helping. That's a really good lineup. And we saw the betting odds. They moved in the Lakers' direction. A lot of that has to do with liability. Mavericks got cut to like 40-1, but if Lively's going to be healthy, I think that team fully constructed is better than what the Lakers have right now.
Who is the best team in the West?
Oh, it's Oklahoma City without a doubt.
How much do you worry about experience and turning the corner? You know, making that next step, because that's kind of the way the NBA is over the years, that no one just – it's rare that a team will just race – to the finals without taking the step each year.
Sure. But I mean, but they did take the step, right? Last year, yeah, they beat the Pelicans in the first – there was a Pelicans, I believe, in the first round. And then in the second round, they lost a series they should have won. They were on the negative side of that shooting variance. They couldn't hit waterfall out of a boat in terms of three-point shooting. And P.J. Washington turned into Ray Allen, and he was hitting every single shot imaginable. So I think they're ready, and they're very, very good. I mean, you have so many perimeter defenders. They are willingly giving up rebounds because that's kind of their deal. But – they also have two bigs that can play together, and Chet Holmgren and Isaiah Hartenstein when they're healthy. So that's going to be a front court pairing that we haven't really seen yet that is going to be pretty fascinating, because now when you face those big teams, they're like, all right, cool, we'll put Holmgren and we'll put Hartenstein out there. And Holmgren's a good enough shooter that he's going to space the floor. You got to be able to account for him. And he's so long as a help defender, he's going to be able to block shots and everything. They're going to be great.
It's funny on the personnel front, you know, judging personnel, and that's important in every sport. There's just better GMs than others, organizations than others, that Hartenstein – when he signed the deal, people are like, it's a lot of money.
Yeah. He's awesome. I mean, so former Clipper, by the way. So I've known this. I loved Isaiah Hartenstein when he was over there. He is one of the best rim protectors when you're talking about just shooting percentage at the rim when he's the closest defender. He's an awesome shot contester. Not big on shot blocks, but very good at contesting shots, making you miss. He's also really good at the top of the key, you know, as a big off of those dribble handoffs, things like that. He's actually a pretty decent passer, too, if you need him to be. So he's one of those guys that kind of erupted, like you're mentioning, out of nowhere. Had some really good run, and all of a sudden he gets paid. And I think some people are like, huh? But if you watch basketball, you know he has been this guy, and he is well-deserving of that money.
All right, Lakers now. They're really bad defensively. They've added Luka.
Yeah. Well, it's just, like, who's their primary perimeter defender? You look at that roster, and you're talking about who's going to potentially start. So you're going to have LeBron and Luka. You're going to have Austin Reeves in there. And then now the other two pieces, are you going to go, like, Rui Hachimura and Jackson Hayes? Look at that roster, and you're talking about who's going to potentially start. So you're going to have LeBron and Luka. You're going to have Austin Reeves in there. And then now the other two pieces, are you going to go, like, Rui Hachimura and Jackson Hayes? Are you going to go Dalton Connect out there because you want another knockdown shooter, right? A catch and shoot threat along with Hayes. Like, there's not a lot of great defensive pieces. Remember, I go back to that Western Conference Finals roster for the Mavs a few years back. Dorian Finney-Smith was on that roster. He's now a Laker, and Luka has a relationship with him, so that's probably going to be something that works, and maybe he finds his way into the starting lineup. But at this point in his career, Dorian Finney-Smith, I don't think should be your primary stopper defensively, but that's going to be it. And then after that, I don't know what they're going to look like defensively.
Well, why can't they get, or can they get, another big man and a perimeter defender in a trade?
They said they're not done. So, but you're going to do just the way the salary cap works and the aprons and where they're at. It's going to be slim pickings. I believe they are over the apron, which does not allow them to participate in the buyout market. I don't know if you saw what the Clippers did a couple of days ago, where they flipped some guys for some money, and that was the big deal, which was they cleared themselves of the apron so they could go onto the buyout market, so they're allowed to. The Lakers can't do that, so I'm going to be interested to see who they can go and get here before the deadline.
What about Reeves in terms of trade value?
I don't think they want to trade him, though.
If you need, you need.
I mean, I would agree with that.
I mean, he is part of the young core, but...
Yep. I would agree with that. Like, I think...
Does he have trade value?
Oh, yeah, I think so. But, I mean, the problem is, like you're mentioning, is just... I think you want Reeves and Luka to kind of be together. You would think that's your pairing as you go forward. So I don't know if you want to ship him off, but you don't have that much on the roster at all that is worth it, except for maybe LeBron James.
You tweeted out, and almost everyone else did too, there has to be something else.
Yeah.
Like, with this trade. No, I don't mean players.
No.
Like, something else was going on.
Has to be.
What do you think?
I mean, I think it might be ownership. I think it might be a lack of willing to pay and the new owner, right? Because he is set for the Supermax and the extension. They threw out there that they were unsure whether or not he would sign the extension, which is, for those who don't know, given the cap rules and everything, the Mavericks are the only team that can offer him that supermax, so he's not getting that money anywhere. He would have signed
like 5.350 or something, and now he's down. Now he's down to like 4.240,
something like that.
Still unreal, but it's not. He's losing $100 million.
He would have signed on the dotted line, and then you can do whatever. But like, none of this adds up. I keep saying you can't urinate on us and tell us it's raining with this. This does not add up. There was something behind the scenes that did not make any sense.
Can you imagine having a billionaire family like the Adelsons buy your team if you're a Mavs fan?
Yeah.
Worth in excess of like $25 billion. And then you start hearing they don't want to pay the money. You're like, wait, what?
Then, because in the future, what's the point? Let's say whoever you draft turns into this next draft. So let's say you get them and he turns into the next Luka Doncic. You're going to trade him too? That's the whole point, is getting a superstar.
Yep.
So you can build your team around him. And you have
Dallas, even with Mark Cuban front and center, who I think was a good owner, seems like a cool guy. Like, you know, there's no reason you wouldn't go to that organization. Like, it's not the Knicks, right? Knicks have somehow cobbled together a good team, even with Jimmy Dolan owning the team. Even with Cuban, I didn't think that was much of a drawing card place for free agents. They were in on everyone, and they didn't really get anyone for years.
Mm-hmm.
So now you won't pay a supermax, and because I'm sure there are Mavs fans and probably some media in Dallas who are like, well, they got that salary slot open, but it's not really open. I don't know. Free agency in the NBA, we've done this now like 25 years where it's like, oh, they're gonna have money. They'll get this guy and that guy and this guy. No one moves.
Right.
Because it's built in the NBA, like you said. You know, as I started this diatribe, it's built in that home team gets the advantage. Current team gets the advantage. Man, that's got to feel hopeless.
Yeah.
Even with frustrations with Luka. How about, what are your thoughts on J.J. Redick as a coach? As I'm going to call him a mentor. I don't mean it this way. I just want to say like a fitness mentor.
He can't.
I mean, there are stories Luka weighs 270.
Right.
6'7", 6'8", 270.
I'll say this. Let's say maybe he does whatever. He got you to the finals last year. He's still a very skilled player.
Even as a Tubb who didn't play much defense.
So
he was still unreal.
I mean, maybe that changes. Maybe it doesn't. It's working. And it's not like, and this makes the other thing just so incredible, because initially, right, going back to what the story was, because the Mavericks' initial language was, you know, we have concerns about his conditioning, so we're moving off of him. The Pelicans won't move on Zion Williamson, who has all these concerns, because they understand what he can be. And obviously, we haven't seen him do anything near what Luka Doncic has done. So, again, to go back to that, using an excuse is ridiculous. And for the Lakers, like I said, like, are you going to try to force him to change? Are you going to try to maybe? But I think it works. I think he understands what he's doing. The guy also plays a lot of basketball. You know, he's active. He plays in the FIBA World Cup. He played in the Olympics and getting up to there in the qualifying tournament. Like, he plays as much as he can. So I think if it's not broke, don't fix it.
I can't imagine in L.A. with the – not that the stakes aren't high in Dallas, but it's just different with the Lakers that someone can't get through to him and he cuts some weight and gets in better shape.
Yeah.
It seems fixable.
Well, sure. I mean, you would think.
You know what? Get on the semi-glutide.
And you would think that.
Take the shots.
I mean, you would think a part of the appeal is, bro, look how good you are now.
Yeah.
Imagine how good you'd be now. Do you want him to lose too much weight or just add muscle? Because a big part of his game is his size. He likes to get smaller guards. He likes to work off of them, use his size to get inside. He works out of the post. So size is part of his game. But you can be a healthy size and work on that conditioning.
Yeah, trim off 20 pounds and lean it up.
Yeah.
Not that I'm an expert on this. How do LeBron and Luka play together?
That's, I mean,
two ball dominant guys.
I keep invoking the Rockets. Remember when they got James Harden and Chris Paul? And the question was, man, who two ball dominant guys? How's this going to work? They made it to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
I always say and expect that great basketball players at that level are always going to make it work. You know, your Brooklyn Nets, when they had Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Kevin Durant, when those three played, they were great together.
I guess that is kind of a stupid question. We've had super teams of ball dominant guys. And one of the, and everyone knows who listens, I think he's great, great radio guy. But one of the absurd rants that went the wrong way for Colin Cowherd was him ranting about the Celtics once they put Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, and Garnett together, and it was like, not enough basketballs to go around.
Yeah, I will never
It worked out.
I'll never question whether or not guys can actually do that. Now, I will say it's going to be pretty fascinating because both of them are not even just ball dominant, but they're very deliberate the way they play. Luka will eat most of the shot clock, hunting his shot, doing what he wants. So, and LeBron's just going to stand in the corner and be a catch and shoot threat, maybe.
Get in the post. You're a big man now.
Yeah, well, so what I'm going to be interested in is... Man.
Follow up.
Well, you would think that you're going to run some LeBron-Luka pick and rolls with LeBron as the screener. You can maybe run those with some more frequency and see how that works, because that would be pretty dominant.
LeBron the screener.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's awesome. You know what I mean? Or vice versa, if Luka's willing... We will see if that's actually the case. But that's going to be the incredible part, is when both of them are off the ball, when one of them's off the ball, and how that looks. Will they be a good catch-and-shoot threat? Luka can be, but we know he just doesn't really do it that often. LeBron isn't the most dominant knockdown shooter when it comes to catch-and-shoot threats. He's more of a pull-up guy, but still, I think he can be somewhat of a threat. But that's just going to be fascinating. None of them are running off screens and, you know, moving around off ball. So I cannot wait to see how it works. I think it's going to, just because they're two great players. But I cannot wait to see how that works.
So cool. 2 minutes, and it deserves more time, but on De'Aaron Fox. So give me all the pieces in this, right? Fox moves on.
Yep.
Who got what?
Okay, so there's a lot moving. I mean, the big part is that De'Aaron Fox is now with the San Antonio Spurs and is part of a three-team deal that also involves Zach LaVine going to Sacramento. Kings get both multiple first-round picks as well. Spurs get De'Aaron Fox. Like, there's a lot of moving pieces there when you're talking about what this is. I think I'm more fascinated by, obviously, what this is going to be for the Spurs when you have De'Aaron Fox now at point. Because I think there's an argument to be made that De'Aaron Fox does not impact winning. I mean, he was on the Kings for a while. They had 1 year in which they made it to the three seed. And all of a sudden, 2 years later, his guy gets fired. They were barely a play-in team last year, and we know what happened. So I think there's something to that. He's not a good defender, so there's going to be a lot on Victor Wembanyama when they're running those pick and rolls to be a very impactful shot blocker, which we know he can be, but there's going to be a lot more on his plate because that's going to happen. I get it. If you're the Spurs, you want to pair Victor Wembanyama with somebody who is somewhat young and talented and build your team around that. I just don't know if I really love De'Aaron Fox. He's also not a shooter. That's the underrated part about it. So, we'll see. I just don't understand. Excuse me. I just don't understand what the Kings are doing in that regard, too. Like, I know they're getting picks, but, like, we saw Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan in Chicago. I don't know why they keep trying to grasp at these straws. Tear it down. Rebuild. You got a pretty decent piece in Keegan Murray. Keon Ellis is solid. Like, go that route. I don't know what they're doing.
That's another fan base, man. Frustrating.
Yeah.
Feels like they're going in a good direction, then all of a sudden they reverse course.
They're not well
and
run.
That's another place that's not a destination spot. I mean, they have gotten some free agents. I mean, obviously, they got DeRozan to come over. But it's that kind of guys, right? Yep. Those kind of guys, like older guys.
But they're not well run. It's always chaos, and you can't really build anything consistent.
What a freaking mess. Live Radio Row, Cofield & Company. Thanks to JVT for hopping on to do some NBA on the way back. We'll close things out with the Grab Bag.
Cofield & Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Thanks to Danny for participating in the show. He's going to finish up the Grab Bag with me, Steve Cofield, here on Radio Row. Coverage today brought to you by Paul Padilla. Coverage all week. New Orleans, Super Bowl 59 on the way. Let's go in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Also, thanks to John Von Tobel for sitting in and Adam Hill. Adam will be back tomorrow for the full show. We'll hear more about tonight's opening night, something new they introduced a few years ago. Fans can come out, and they're doing it at the Superdome. I got to tell one more. Well, you know what? I'm just going to. Did you see the breaking news from the NBA? Another Lakers trade.
Really?
Yeah. Bronny in a second for Giannis. I'm kidding. You're really thinking about it. It was a joke. Back in the back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
This one's not a joke. Todd McShay says multiple scouts now view Jackson Dart as QB2 in this draft. QB2.
Who's ahead of him?
Cam Ward.
Okay.
No Shedeur Sanders. I made a bet about Shedeur Sanders with a friend in Colorado. The bet was he won't be a first-round pick. You have to understand my mindset at the time. I thought Colorado was going to be a disaster of a season.
Yeah.
I had this whole thing concocted. Deion's going to walk and his kid's going to leave early, and then that acting like that, that's it. He's out of the first round. But now that Jackson Dart's the number two, if he is, I got a shot? Probably not.
No.
Over under 32nd and a half pick?
In the first round.
I thought he's going to be a first rounder. He will be a first rounder.
Yeah.
But he may slip. Who knows? Maybe he slips beyond the Raiders.
The Raiders don't
want him.
I don't think so.
Make sure you check out GilliesLasVegas.com, another spot inside Treasure Island. We're at Golden Circle every Friday. But Gillies is going to have a tremendous big game bash. Under $200 to get in, all you can drink, all you can eat. They have tremendous food there at Gillies. So check it out. Get your details. GilliesLasVegas.com. That'll do it. Thanks to Jared, too, and Q, and Nye. Big crew down here. See you, Griffin.